6. Switching up things a little bit in the order tonight, but Ephesians chapter 6 and verses, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Father, for just the power of your word and the fact that you've given us an armor, Lord, that protects us, Lord, that protects us from the wiles of the devil, from the fiery darts, from the trickery of the devil. But Lord, I ask that you would help us to put on the armor of God each and every day. Thank you, Father, for your provision for our spiritual lives and for our physical lives each and every day. Father, as we continue to sing some songs and, Lord, to worship you, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, you would guide the service tonight. As always, we want it to be uplifting, encouraging. We want Christ to be lifted up. We want you to be glorified because it is all about you. It's about worshiping you. It's about praising you and thanking you, Lord, for who you are and for what you do in our lives. Father, we ask that you would please bless our time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand if you... Chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10 through 13. I want to talk to us about winning the battle because there is a battle raging, a spiritual battle in the lives of God's people. And just as we talked this morning, I preached about the second birth, preached about being born again, preached about salvation, and how obviously that saves us from the second death, which is the lake of fire. And obviously we have an enemy who fights against that, an enemy who wants to keep people blinded to the truth. And if he can't keep them blinded from the truth, if when someone is born again by the Spirit of God and he loses his clutches on that life, yet he doesn't give up. He wants to destroy that life and he wants to have rule in that life again. He is someone who is obviously our arch enemy. He's the enemy of God, though he is a created being. He is someone that was in the presence of God but was kicked out because of pride, because of sin that was found in him, and he has been fighting from day one to destroy the things of God. But aren't you glad that you know that even though the devil may have some power, he doesn't have all power? Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. But the devil has a little power, and he's wreaking havoc in the lives of people. But we can win the battle if we live according to God's will. If we will follow Ephesians chapter 6, we can have victory in our lives. We don't have to let the devil have any victory in our lives. We don't have to let the devil have any room in our life if we will follow God's plan for the battle. Winning the battle. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Again, reminding ourselves, because I think, obviously, often people forget that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle, though we may be facing somebody. Somebody may be against us, yet it's the devil who really is our enemy. It's never the person. It's who is behind the person. Remember when the Lord asked Peter and the disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they gave their responses, people's opinion. And Jesus said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father has. The Spirit of God has revealed it to you. Later on, when Jesus is talking about his death. Talking about the crucifixion, what he is going to face. He tells his disciples that he's going to be handed over into the hands of sinful men. He's going to be crucified. And he'll rise up the third day. And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. It's not going to happen." And the Lord Jesus turned at that moment and looked at Peter, the very one that said, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God." Jesus looked at him when he said, it's not going to happen. Not so. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, he wasn't talking to Peter directly. He was talking to Satan, who is behind the Antichrist agenda, who's behind the words, who's behind everything that is against Christ and against the Heavenly Father. And he rebukes the devil because the devil knows that he is a defeated foe, but he's still waging war. He is still trying to keep people in the dark. He doesn't want people to come to know Christ as their Savior. He doesn't want you as a child of God to live in victory. He wants you to live in defeat. He wants you to think that he has full control and there is nothing that God can do. But how many of you understand tonight that if you have Jesus Christ in your life, then you have all power in your life. The devil has absolutely no room, no rule in your life. But we got to be careful we don't give place to the enemy. We got to be careful that we don't allow the devil to have any place in our life, because if we do, he will destroy us. He will do everything he can to destroy every single person. Listen, we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, but if it was not important, God would not have it in his world, in his word. Again, as Paul writes these words, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Again, we are in a spiritual battle, and we're reminded in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Again, I want you to be reminded that you are in a spiritual battle, though you may not have signed up for it. Yet when you became a born-again believer, you basically were thrown into the fire, because the devil is after every single child of God. He wants to rip the truths of God's word out of your heart. He doesn't want you to believe the truths of God's word. He doesn't want you to stand upon the promises. Listen, at the end of verse 13, the Bible tells us, having done all to stand. He doesn't want you to stand on the promises. He doesn't want you to, children. He doesn't want you to obey your parents. He doesn't want you to obey those that have the authority over you. He wants you to be disobedient. He wants you to do what you want to do. He wants you, just even as me. He doesn't want anyone to do what God's word says. And he is trying his best in every single life to destroy it. Now listen, we've got to be careful that we don't buy into the lies of the devil. That church is not important. God's word's not important. Jesus is not important. I'll get saved later. I mean, I've got 100 years ahead of me. No, I have a brother-in-law that passed away at the age of 28. And that shook my world, because he was like a brother to me. And I thought, I had the mindset, you know what? You know, I'm going to live till I'm 90, 95. But when that happened, the Lord used it in my life to show me, you know what? Death comes to all ages. You don't know when it's going to happen. And I just, I loved him. He was someone who just, I mean, he was always full of joy. I mean, he was just a joy to be around. But listen, winning the battle. There's a battle to be won. And there is an enemy to be, that we have to defend ourselves against. But obviously, it's not in our own power. It's not in our own tactics, but exactly what the Lord has given us in his word. In Isaiah chapter 14, I want you to think about this in verse 12 through 15. Isaiah describes the heart of Satan. In Isaiah chapter 14, the Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Excuse me. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Though Satan has this heart that he wants to be God, yet he knows he can never dethrone God. He can't dethrone God in heaven. Think about that. So if he can't defeat God, why does he fight so hard? Why does he fight so hard in your life? Take her out. Why does he fight so hard in your life if he knows he cannot dethrone God in heaven? Because he knows he has a chance to dethrone God in your heart. He knows he has a chance to turn your trust into disbelief. He knows that if he can win your heart and turn your heart from the Lord, then he's won, and he will destroy your life. Listen, when you think about who the devil is, he's not someone to be messed with, but he is a defeated foe. We do have victory because of Jesus Christ. But again, we do have to have the mindset that we are in a battle, and every day I've got to be sober, I've got to be vigilant, knowing that, you know what? Somewhere in today, the devil's going to try to trip me up. He's going to shoot his fiery dart at me. He's going to try his best. And sometimes he doesn't have to try hard. Listen, girls, I want you to sit still. You're causing people to look at you instead of listening. Sit still. The devil is going to try his best to get your focus off of God. He's going to try his best in every single day to get you to believe that God cannot help you, that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love. I mean, everything he can do, he's going to try his best. Listen, God's given you victory, and we talked about that this morning. We talked about the blessings of the second birth, the blessings of a new life, of salvation, the fact that you have a relationship with God Almighty, who has all power, who has all authority. The devil has to answer to him. We see that in the book of Job, where the devil presents himself to the Lord. And the Lord asks him, where you been? What have you been doing? He's walking to and fro in the earth. He can't be everywhere at once. He's not all-knowing. He wants you to think that he is, but he has demons working for him. He can't be everywhere at once, but there are principalities. There's the rulers of darkness that obviously that are fighting against us and resisting us as we try to live for the Lord. But I want you to look at verse 10 and 11 again as we think about just the provisions that God's given for the battle. Again, really, you think about it, the battle's not even ours, is it? The battle belongs to the Lord. We're basically the pawn. You have the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings. And the devil is, again, he's trying to keep people in his clutches, but when he loses his grasp on people because they become born again, they become the children of God, well, he doesn't stop. But he's not someone we need to fear. He's not someone that we need to dread, but understand that he does have power. Understand that he hates you just as much as he hates God. Don't live this life without walking with the Lord. Don't live this life haphazard. Don't live with the mindset that, well, you know, I can just do whatever I want. Listen, with that mindset, well, I could just watch wherever I want, do whatever I want. I mean, I can just live my life however I want. Where did the prodigal son find himself when he was finished living his life how he wanted to live it? Right? You read that in the book of Luke where the prodigal son tells the father, just give me my inheritance. I want to go live my life. And the prodigal son finds himself in the pig pen. Most Christians don't think about that. They don't think about the ramifications of the choices that we make. And then when we are in the midst of chaos, when we're in the midst of struggles in our life, we wonder, you know, why doesn't God help me? Why did God allow this? Because as it was said this morning, we're not robots in Sunday school. Every person has a free will. You do whatever you want. But God shows us the best way. God shows us how to defend ourselves against the wiles of the devil. He's given us the provision, and the first provision he's given is his power. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our strength and sufficiency comes from God. You cannot win the battle without God's power and without his sufficiency, without his strength in your life. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. God is our strength. God is our power. God's the one that says, here's my armor, put it on. But how many of us neglect the armor of God? We think, well, I don't want to put it on. It's too much work. But God tells us if we don't, we're sitting ducks. We're easy pickings for the devil. Listen, we live in a day and age where Facebook is people's lives. They live for Facebook. They live for social media. They live for self-gratification. And at times we all get caught up in that, in self-gratification. Well, listen, it's one of the tactics of the devil. Because the devil is looking, he's trying to desensitize every Christian. So that, you know what, we're not moved by the Word of God. We're not moved by the Spirit of God. We're not affected by sin in the world. We just, man, it's life. I mean, think. I don't know how you feel. I don't know what thoughts you have when you hear of another unborn baby being aborted. And finding out that money is made off of that. Money being made, millions being made off of the death of a child. We live in such a society that promotes death and horror that most people are desensitized. They're not affected by it. It's a tactic of the devil. You know what? The Holy Spirit of God is very sensitive. Are we bothered anymore by sin? Does it bother us? Because you know what? If the devil can desensitize us, we're not affected by the Bible. We're not affected by God's word. It is a struggle. Because you know what? What do you find? Most people don't like to read. They want to be entertained. They want to see things. They'll sit there and watch movie after movie after movie after movie, but then to read God's word, I mean, they might can get two verses in and it's not doing anything. It's not gratifying the flesh. And again, it's the tactic of the devil to desensitize God's people. Listen, just so you understand and you're reminded, this spiritual battle that he's talking about in Ephesians is the spiritual battle that you and I are in. It's not written to the lost people. It's written to the Christian. It's written to the born-again believer that, listen, you have an adversary that's fighting against you. And listen, he's very slick. He's very slick. He's very wise in what he does. He's been doing it for generations. But many of God's people are totally missing out on what God wants to do in their life. They're missing out on the power of God in their life. They are allowing themselves to feed themselves everything of this world that desensitizes them from the things of God. Winning the battle. The power comes from the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11, obviously the Lord not only gives us his power, but gives us the armor. In verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. He's telling us, put it on. And tonight, we won't go through it, but when you go to verse 14 and following, he mentions the armor. He tells us what it is that we're supposed to put on, what's going to protect us. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, God says you can stand. You can win the battle. If you'll stand in my armor, if you'll stand in my strength, if you'll stand in my power, then when the devil shoots his fiery darts, when he tries his trickery, you'll be able to defeat it because you're standing in my armor. You're standing in the power and the strength of Jesus Christ. Again, when you think about it, first, you always have to trust in the Lord. Again, like I said this morning, the devil's always trying to get God's word out of your heart. And the best way he can do it is to desensitize us to where, you know what? You know, reading the Bible just admits a struggle. If we don't give ourselves to the word of God, it will become a struggle. If we stop trusting God's word and we stop trusting him, again, it's easy pickings for the devil. He can just lead us astray and destroy us. It's exactly what he's doing, destroying some of God's people. But listen, we've got to adhere to the truth of God's word, and we have to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God's given us this armor. It's his armor. And it's an armor that has been tested time and time again by God's people. Time and time again by God's people. You think about the life of Paul as he writes this. Do you think Paul faced any spiritual battles in his life? That's why he's writing this. Because Paul faced spiritual battles in his life. He faced near-death experiences. He faced rejection. He faced persecution. He faced the onslaught of the spiritual battle as he was going from place to place, shining the light of the gospel, living his life for the Lord, doing the Lord's will. He was a man that was hated by many, but he was a man that was used mightily of the Lord, and he knows what it is to be in the spiritual battle, and I know that you know this. I know that most of you in here know what it's like to be in a spiritual battle. You know what it's like to have the devil come knocking on your door, uninvited, trying to wreak havoc in your life. And you have fallen upon the mercy seat of God. You have called out to the Lord. You've asked the Lord to help you, and you've seen the Lord help you. But again, he doesn't stop. He's not going to stop. And sometimes God uses it. Sometimes God allows the devil to do what he does to help us to see our need in him. To help us to see that, you know what, we can't live this life without the Lord. We need the Lord. People need the Lord. I want you to think about just even, you know what, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse 13 through 15. You know, Hollywood does a great job in helping people to believe that, well, you know, there's no such thing as the devil. That's just Hollywood. You know, people being possessed by demons, that's just Hollywood. But you read it in Scripture. But you know what? The devil can appear as an angel of light. He can speak some truth to lead people astray. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 13 through 15, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, meaning someone who speaks good, someone who does good, someone who seemingly is trying to help people. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The Bible just it warns us to be careful that the devil doesn't always come at us like the devil. It's not always fear that he's trying to instill in us. Sometimes he'll come at us and help us to think that, you know what you're going to choose to do is good. God will be okay with that. God's fine with that. I mean, obviously, someone who doesn't preach a salvation message, someone who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously is anti-Christ. But there have been many that have mixed the two. Preach a salvation message, but then tell you to drink your Kool-Aid that has poison in it. I mean, just think about sometimes, you know, you have a thought. All the thoughts you have aren't always good thoughts and not always of the Lord. You've got to try the spirits. You've got to test the spirits is what the Bible tells us to do. We're to try the spirits because, again, the devil, he's trying everything he can to destroy your life. He's trying everything he can to get you off track. He's trying everything he can to strangle you. I have my own experiences in my life that that I know for a fact the spiritual battle is real. I know for firsthand it's real. I know the spiritual battles. I know things that have happened. And just one house that we lived in many years ago was possessed. I had my pastor come over and pray over it and stuff because there were just things happening. Seeing things that weren't there. And just, I mean, look, the devil just tries everything. I mean, he will, if you know, he's someone that hides in the shadows. But if you are aware, if you believe God's word and you know there's a spiritual battle and you're praying against that and you're praying for the Lord's protection and you know, I mean, you're walking with the Lord, sometimes the devil's going to show up and you're going to know he's there. There's going to be a presence. You know, have you ever been around somebody you just, the person didn't look evil, but just something in your stomach said something wasn't right. I mean, you just had this uneasy feeling. You ever had an uneasy feeling around somebody? Because they don't have a right spirit. Listen, the battle is real. But God shows us how we can win the battle. He shows us how we can defend ourselves against our adversary. I want you to look at verse number 12, if you would. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." How many understand the devil does not want you to believe that you're in a spiritual battle? He doesn't want you to believe that you have an adversary. He doesn't want you to believe the things the Bible says. He wants you to just live like an ostrich with his head in the sand, thinking everything's fine. Oh, no, you know, that was in Bible times where people were possessed and the Lord was rebuking the devil and all the spiritual battles. No, it is real today. And you have an enemy that, you know what, is sitting right next to you. Don't look at the person sitting next to you, but you have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, an adversary, goes everywhere you go. He's always looking for an opportunity. Ah, that pastor, he don't know what he's talking about. Ah, God's word, that's not true. Your life is fine. You don't have any struggles. You have no problems. You're okay. Listen, if you've lived life any length of time, you know there's problems in life. And you know that the devil fights against you. But listen, just so we understand, as it says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, Paul tells us, obviously through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his own experiences, but even God, that there is a spiritual realm. There is wickedness, there is evilness. I mean, we see it around us. We see the wickedness around us, but there's a spiritual wickedness behind it. Behind the evil that we see in our cities and in our states and in our country and around the world. In 2 Corinthians, again, chapter 10, verse 3 and 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Is the Word of God important? Yes. It's the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It is our defensive weapon. It is our offensive weapon. It is what tells us. It helps us to know the wiles of the devil. It helps us to know how the devil's going to attack. It helps us to know how to defend ourselves, how to have victory, how to win the battle. Hey, listen, we don't send our military to fight wars without giving them weapons and ammunition, right? We don't send our men and women in the military off to other countries to fight and say, okay, when you get there, try to make some weapon, you know, cut down some branches and make some spears or something, right? We give them what they need. In fact, our military studies other countries because we want to be the best. We want to have the best military, and we study other countries, and we make sure that our military has the best so that we can win wars. And God's given us the best so we can win the spiritual battle. But we have to use it. We have to believe in it. We have to take up the Word of God, and we have to hide it in our hearts, and we have to believe it, and we have to use it, because it's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the devil with in the wilderness. And it's the number one thing that he wants to just snatch out of the hearts, the minds, and the hands of God's people. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What is it that the devil used against Adam and Eve? The Word of God. You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to trust the Word of God, because the devil came to Eve and said, "Yea, hath God said?" Oh, God didn't really mean that. There are so many people that are not fully trusting in the Word of God. They're not trusting what God says. And God gives us the victory. He tells us how to have victory, how to win the battle. We've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to trust what God tells us. Listen, I want you to look at verse 12 again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, we're not fighting against people, but we're fighting against the power of Satan. Notice he says, spiritual wickedness in high places. And a little further back, he says, against powers. And there are powers. There are spiritual powers that you and I cannot defeat. But again, we have the power of Christ in our life. We have the one who has all power in our life, but do we trust it? Do we believe it? He is our commander in chief. You know, I think about Joshua going up against his first battle in the Promised Land. And he went out that night and he was just looking over at Jericho. And he saw a man standing over against him. And he went up to that man and said, "You for us or against us?" And he heard the words, "Neither." I'm the captain of the heavenly host. The Bible records Joshua fell on his face because he knew who it was. He knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ. You think, and he was given the battle plan. You know what? It is the number one battle plan that a lot of people struggle with. And that is trust. And that is walking by faith. Because as the Lord gave Joshua the battle plan for Jericho, he wasn't going to lift up any type of battering ram against the walls. He just had to walk around it and just believe the word of the Lord. Just walk around the walls once each day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, walk around it 7 times. Oh, and by the way, don't let the people talk while they're walking around it. Well, that makes no sense. Because what do you think the devil wants to do in Joshua's mind and in the minds of the people? Yeah, but if we just sit there and just walk and don't do anything, they can come out and attack us. But who would protect them? You understand, when you read the account in the Bible, and I hope you believe that every account in the Bible is true, that as they walked around the walls, the people inside the city never tried to attack them because the hedge of protection was around them. As they faithfully followed the word of God, God had a hedge of protection around his people. Listen, as we believe God and follow God, he will have that hedge of protection around us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. David writes that psalm. David was a man who experienced walking through the valley of a shadow of death. He experienced someone hunting him like a dog, wanting to kill him, and yet he saw the hand of protection upon his life time and time again. But see, the devil doesn't want us to trust the Lord. The devil doesn't want us to faithfully follow the Lord. He wants us to believe that God cannot protect us from him. The devil uses fear as one of his tactics to get us not to trust the Lord, to get us to be fearful, to get us to believe that God has no power, that God cannot protect us from everything. Listen, God has all power. The devil has some power, but God has all power. I want you to think about this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But guess what? Now you're a child of God. Now you're a child of light. If God can save you, cannot he protect you? If God can save you, cannot he protect you? Cannot he bless you? Cannot he give you victory? Cannot he help you to win the battle? He allows us to go into these battles so that we will continue to learn to trust him, continue to learn to follow him, continue to have wisdom that, you know what? Yes, I have an adversary, but I don't have to fear the adversary because I have the captain of the heavenly host on my side. I have the one on my side that has the victory and has given me the victory as well. But again, you know, it is. We do have a spiritual battle that we're in. I want you to think about it. I want you to look at verse 13. As time is running out, you look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Again, verse 11, God says, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God. He's given it to us. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God's will for you is to be able to stand. Let me ask you, could the Lord keep the devil from ever attacking us, ever bothering us? Can't the Lord just allow us to live a peaceful life with no problems whatsoever? Absolutely. But he allows us to go into these battles so that we will continue to trust him, that we will continue to see that God's the one that gives the victory, that God's the one that gives us the strength and the power to overcome our adversary. Because it's by his armor that we're able to stand. The devil cannot penetrate the armor of God. You know, again, with our military is always coming up with new technology, trying to protect our men and women in the military. I remember, I forget which battle it was over in the Middle East that we were engaged in. But I remember just our troops would go and they would see just Coke cans lying around. And as soon as they came up to it, they were detonated. Humvees blown up. People losing their lives. Our military losing their lives. And there were industries back here that was quickly, I mean, just feverishly trying to come up with a solution. And they came up with a solution with one of their Humvees. They restructured it and stuff so it could withstand those roadside bombs. So, I mean, we're always looking to protect our people and always looking to, you know, advance in the battles that we go into. You think about the Lord's given us the greatest defense for the spiritual battle that we're in, His armor. His armor is impenetrable. You can't penetrate God's armor. The devil can't. But what does he do? The only way that he can get victory in our lives is if we will just leave one piece of the armor off. Just leave one piece off. You know, one piece of the armor is the helmet of salvation. Because you know what? If he can get into the minds of people and get them to believe that God can't help you, or, well, you know, this one piece of armor, it's not really vital. I don't really need this one piece. He just needs just a crack to get in, to slither in. Listen, tonight I want to encourage all of God's people. Keep believing God's word. Keep trusting that God is on your side, but you are in a spiritual battle whether you want to be or not. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Put on God's armor. Read His word. Hear His word. Listen to His word. So that you're able to stand when the devil comes knocking. Ephesians 4:27 reminds us, neither give place to the devil. Don't allow the devil to have room in your life. Ask the Lord, Lord, where is it that maybe I have allowed the devil to have a place in my life? Where is it that the devil is, he's gotten victory in my life? Where is it that I need to get victory? Where is it in my life that, Lord, I need to give that place back to you? I need to let you have number one priority in my life. Because no longer is it about salvation. You're a child of God. You're saved. You've got the gift of salvation. He can't take that from you. But what did Jesus say? The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. The Lord wants more for you. He wants you to have a blessed life. He wants you to have an abundance of life. But the devil wants to suck that out. The devil wants to destroy. The devil wants people to be gripped with fear, to be gripped with doubt, to be gripped with unbelief. He doesn't want the power of God in God's people. He doesn't want us to walk in the power of God. He doesn't want us to walk in the faith of the Lord. He doesn't want us to trust the Lord. Again, like I've said before, He's okay with you being in church tonight as long as you don't hear a single word that God says to your heart. Not what I say, but what God speaks to your heart. He's okay if we don't hear from God. He's okay if we have religion. He's okay if we go through the motions. But listen, as I believe that we're living in the last days, the devil's going to fight harder and harder and harder, because you are probably the only person who can reach those around you. Your family members, your coworkers, your friends, those that you're associated with that are not saved, you're probably the only one that can reach them. And the devil knows that. And if the devil can keep us desensitized and keep us from believing God's word and following God's word and obeying His word, then he's going to win in that person's life that we know is lost. Don't believe the lies of the devil. The battle's already been won. We're in a spiritual battle, but it's already been won. The devil's lost. But he wants you to believe that he's winning. No, that's one of the things. Again, it's used all over the world. It's used in battles, it's used in politics, propaganda, getting people to believe something that's not true. If the devil can convince you that you've lost the battle and you lay down the armor, guess what? But he's not going to stop there. He doesn't want you just to lay down the armor. He wants to destroy your life. But you and I have to keep on the armor of God. We've got to keep believing the Lord, following the Lord. And God says if we'll put on the armor of God, if we'll trust his armor, if we'll put it on, we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We'll see victories in our life. We will see the blessings of God in our life. Never forget, you're in a spiritual battle, but you have victory because of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and stand if you would, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for just the blessing of, Lord, being saved, being a child of God, having the power of God in our life. Thank you, Father, that you've given us the spiritual armor to protect ourselves. And Lord, you've even told us what to do, how to defeat the devil. And Lord, it's a topic the devil doesn't want to be discussed. It's a topic that he wants to keep us desensitized against. He wants to keep our minds focused on other things. But Lord, I do pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, continue to speak to our hearts, continue to guide us according to your will. And I thank you, Father, and I praise you that the devil is a defeated foe. I thank you, Father, that one day he will be cast into the lake of fire, no more deceiving the nations, no more causing problems in the lives of your people, no more fighting against us, resisting us. Lord, I thank you, Father, that he is a defeated foe and that we have Jesus Christ as our advocate. And Father, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have Christ. Father, help us to believe it. Help us to follow you faithfully, to trust you, and to be sober and vigilant. As the piano begins to play, I give you a few moments alone in prayer.